Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to the Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and as always, I'm here with the man that needeth no introduction, but we introduce him anyway, because this is an audio medium primarily. Unless you head on over to YouTube, where you can watch this as well as listen to it. The Captain, Jack Barry. Captain, how are you this morning? It's good. Or this afternoon, I suppose. It's good to see you.
This afternoon. Yeah, I have been hearing rumors that Captain America is returning to the Marvel Universe.
Oh, really?
In Doomsday? I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff out there. I think it's fake.
Yeah.
I don't think it's real.
Yeah.
Anyway. Interesting stuff coming up this week with, I guess the first trailers are going to drop this week for the new Avengers movie, having old RDJ as Dr. Doom. So,
okay. But interesting.
Sorry to start off on a nerd talk while our whole
no, Western it's all
side
good.
Of the state is literally getting flooded right now.
Yeah. It's been a rough week for Washington. For those that were aware, Washington got hit with some floods this past week. It resulted in, our church not being able to meet, which was frustrating. A lot of people homeless, a lot of homes destroyed. And now they're talking about a storm warning. The wind out there is reaching, at least for Washington standards, some pretty substantial gusts. So we're going to try to get through this podcast before I lose power. And, if only a half of one goes out this week, then, so be it. But it's been a rough week for Washington. We thank you all for that have been praying. I got some messages from some folks saying that they prayed for our church specifically on their Lord's Day, which was very encouraging. Love seeing the body at work, even when you've never met people. That's pretty cool. But Jack, my friend, we've got a lot to talk about today. We've got a lot to get through. Interesting topic today. Reformatory, a classic Reformatory. Let's talk about it. 2-3 weeks after everyone else has talked about it, right? Classic Reformatory, late to the party as always, but we're here. We're here, and we're going to talk about some stuff. But Jack, as always, before we get to our topic, let's get to everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your instant grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your host, Josh Loftus and Jack Barry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works, Jack. That's definitely seems to be how it works these days. And I've got some real great ones for you today, man. We're going to hit you first with this poor guy. Really, you know what? No, I'm saving that one for the second because that's going to be a good transition into our main topic. Okay. I'm hitting you with the Carpenters. Okay,
oh,
not the band.
Okay,
but the pastor, and I'm using for those listening only. I'm using air quotes here. The pastor duo, Rob, and I believe his wife's name is Hope. I think I could be wrong, Carpenter, but this is a little Thanksgiving message that they put out to their folks.
I think I remember this.
A couple weeks ago, and you know, there's nothing screams Thanksgiving to me like some good old fashioned local church erotica. Okay, have a watch.
Thanksgiving to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Why am I singing a Christmas song for Thanksgiving? Because I'm already decorated for Christmas. But we just wanted to come and say, have an amazing Thanksgiving with your friends, with your family. Even if you're by yourself, there's always something to be thankful for.
You didn't let me talk.
I'm asking you now, but get over here.
What? Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. Dude, he looks like Montana, and that woman looks like Idaho. He is just absolutely being a creeper right now.
He's going full Joe Biden on that lady, dude. He's going full. He's like, he's Joe Biden, and she's a 14-year-old girl, dude. He is all up in her business. Dude, so for those who are listening to this only, it's a video of this husband and wife duo announcing their, you know, Thanksgiving stuff, right? And the wife is in the front, you know, doing most of the talking, the announcements. And as she is speaking throughout the entire time,
this guy is smelling her aggressively.
Husband is standing behind her, I'm not kidding. Full Joe Biden. He's like sniffing her neck.
Full Montana.
He's like, dude, he is all up in her business. It is really awkward to watch.
It is.
It's one of those things where it's like, you know, the camera's on, right? Like, you two need to go find yourselves a little private area.
Yeah, go somewhere else and not film this.
Here's the thing. Like, in the privacy of your own home, right, in the kitchen, you know, your wife's cooking or something, come up behind your wife, you want to be flirty. I love that. That's great, dude. Right? Not for a church announcement video.
Dear Lord, people.
Can we please keep this away from the church Facebook?
Yeah.
Right? This does not belong on there. Anyway, real cringy stuff. Not great. Not a great look. You know, I see this, you know, on the church's Instagram. I'm probably not showing up because I'm at this point. I'm thinking, like, you know, I don't want him doing this to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't want to be anywhere near whatever this is. So, Jack, I got one more for you, my friend. This poor dude tries to start the morning service off with some light jokes.
No.
And just makes some classic blunders. Here you go.
How about our all male worship team? How about them? Was that nice or what? I was thinking, I was like, the power of God feels so much more close and present. I thought, what's the difference? And I thought, we got all these women off the stage, and that I'm just kidding. My mom is booing me. Who was the last time a pastor got booed by his mother? This is amazing. I'm just kidding, ladies. We will fight for women in ministry until the day that I die. So just a joke.
That was a nervous laugh because he knows he's dying.
He's getting assassinated right now.
He realized that stage.
Dude, like, he kept digging. He realized I dug a massive pit. I fell in the pit. And you should have just covered yourself over, but you kept going. And the first joke didn't land, right? Should have stopped there. Don't double down, right? Don't double down on the joke that didn't work, because it's never a good strategy. So, Jack, my friend, that is a great example of how not to engage in a sermon, right? And how not to engage in preaching, right? That's not something it's not really a way that it should be done, right? The problem is, Jack, there are a lot of people out there these days Lots of people who got a lot of opinions on what good preaching is, what bad preaching is, what preaching should entail, what it shouldn't entail, right? And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're talking about preaching, and not so much, you know, what is it, why is it important. We've done that before, but to kind of set the stage, okay, and this all kind of happened while I was on vacation. So a video circulated, and we're going to play the video here in a second to provide some context, of preacher Paul Washer, I would say, kind of taking to task, if you will, preachers today, modern day preachers in churches. I would say, kind of, you know, being a little rough with them in terms of some of the practices of modern preachers today, and how kind of disappointed he is in that. And I know some of you might be saying, well, Paul Washer's disappointed in something. But what do you, I did not see that coming, right? I know. Stick with me.
Levity, okay? People. Levity.
Levity. Look, we like to have fun here on the podcast, okay? Paul Washer's a faithful brother. He's a brother in Christ, but, you know, we got to be able to take as well as we give, right? True. And Paul Washer gives a lot.
Oh yeah.
So let's just be very clear, okay? Paul Washer is a great, he gives a lot. So, you know, every once in a while, you know, when you give that much, you got to be able to take a little back. So our goal with this podcast is to be balanced, because I do think that there's some things in this video that he says that I think is actually very true, and it actually coincides with a lot of points that Jack and I have made on the podcast before. But again, as often happens with Mr. Washer, I think some things get taken too far, and we begin to kind of place the weight and legitimacy, if you will, on things that we probably shouldn't. So we're going to play the video. This is what kind of made its rounds around the social media. A lot of people had some hot takes. Most were bad. Some were really, really good. And we're going to try to provide some of our thoughts on this. But let's play the video first. Let's get some context, and then we're gonna dive into it here.
There's one thing that I see over and over missing in all these expositors. When I come to church, I don't want to hear a New Testament class. I want to hear preaching. I want to see a man who has life and death painted on his face. I want to have the great matters of eternity set before me. I want to be urged. I want to be begged. I want to be pleaded with, because the subject matter is worthy of it. And this was the Apostle Paul. He doesn't just lay truth before people and then walk off the platform patting himself on the back because he did a good job expositing a text. No! There should be no contentment in the preacher unless God is glorified and men and women are moved.
Okay. All right. So that's the clip. And boy, did that cause some drama, Jack. That caused an uproar, which is, I mean, you know, it's Twitter. What are you going to do, right? If you don't have something to be mad about, why are you on the site? I guess it's kind of the idea. But so I've definitely got some thoughts on that. Jack, I want to throw that over to you first. What's your initial reaction to that video? I know that you saw that going around just as I did a couple weeks ago. It made its, like I said, it made its rounds, and we heard a lot of reactions, a lot of hot takes with that. I'd love to hear your thoughts first.
Yeah, I didn't see it as much, to be quite honest. I don't know what the algorithm was doing on my end, but I think that was like the second or third time I've seen that clip. Mm. I mean, here's the thing. Like, he has points of like, yes, like preaching is not, you know, we talk about this. If you go to a Simeon Trust workshop, when you talk about preaching, go to a Simeon Trust workshop if you're a pastor or an up-and-coming preacher, and you will get wrecked.
you will,
because there's times where, you know, we talk about preaching where you don't want to be You don't want to be a person who's going there in like a museum history, like tour guide.
Right. Like
you're not showing people around the Bible.
Right. You don't preach your prep as we've said before. Right.
Yeah. So, but you are trying to get and hone down to what the author's original intent of that text was in the overall span of the book or the epistle or anything. Right. Mm-hmm. And so he has a point to some degree where you're not, okay, you're not doing a New Testament class. Okay. But when he's, you know, I want to be moved. I want to do this. I want to be pleaded with. I want to have this. I want to have that. I want to, it's like, listen, to be quite honest, maybe it's because I'm in the Pacific Northwest. But the fact of the matter is, like, my pastors can go up on stage and be as real and authentic. And I really don't have any expectations other than I know they're going to preach to me. I know they're going to share what the word says, and that's going to lead to something. I honestly, like, I feel like Paul Washer is just having a lot of just like expectations when, to me, as a member in a local church, I know the Holy Spirit's going to move through my pastors. I'm just waiting for that to unfold.
Sure.
So I know their hearts and I know what they want. It's like, I'm not here to put and make them performative.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a level of performative and emotionality that I think Washer is putting on pastors too much that, like, listen, a lot of guys are trying to do their best every Sunday, going up there, preaching what they got, preaching their hearts out. And to Paul Washer, that's not going to be enough.
Sure.
To be quite honest.
Sure.
So to me, it's just like, cut them a break, dude. Cut them a break.
Sure.
Because the local church pastor is not going to be a YouTube sensation, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
He's just going to know his local church and what's best for them.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. No, I think that's a good place to start. I think I'll say this, and I am open to being corrected, but I did some research before this. I do not believe Paul Washer is a pastor anywhere. I know he runs up Heart Cry Ministries. He's on the preaching circuit, all that good stuff. But I do not believe that he has been called to the pastorate by a local church. Again, if you're listening to this and I'm wrong, my research is wrong, please let me know. My point still stands with what I'm about to say. I find it difficult. Like, one of my difficulties with Paul Washer, and again, he's a brother. I know he loves Jesus, right? He does some great work with Heart Cry that I think is much needed and very good. I know he's encouraged many, many people. I hear a lot of criticisms from Paul Washer, or coming from Paul Washer, most of the time.
Yeah.
And most of the time, those criticisms are leveled against pastors or Christians that are struggling in their faithfulness.
Yeah.
Now, I do believe that there is a time where we have to say hard things.
Yeah.
Right? And the truths of Scripture need to hit us full in the face, and we need to be confronted with our lack of zeal, our lack of compassion, our lack of love, or whatever, our lack whatever it is, right? The Scriptures do that. Part of my, I don't want to speak ill, but part of the hard time that I have with Washer and guys that kind of fawn over him is that it seems like they'll only be encouraged if they're being beaten.
pretty much.
You know, it's like they're dogs that have been beaten so much they think they deserve it, and that's the only way that they feel like, you know, that's the only way they feel something, right? As if it's coming from a place of negativity and critique versus perhaps encouragement and lifting up, right? And again, There's room for both. We have to do both. I'm not falling on one side or the other saying, you know, again, we're down the middle, law and gospel. We need both, right? Part of my problem with this, though, is that I think, well, let's start with the things that I agree with. Because there are things in here that I agree with. I'm actually going to go through. Let's do this. I'm going to pull this up again. I'm going to go through it and kind of talk about it as we move here, okay?
There's one thing that I see over and over missing in all these expositors. When I come to church, I don't want to hear a New Testament class.
Okay, so right there. That is something that we've talked about before I do, by and large, I agree with, right? Preaching. And again, this is a distinction we make on the Reformatory that I know a lot of guys don't agree with. That's totally fine. But I think it aids in the point here. I do believe that there is a difference, at least in the methodology and intent of teaching versus preaching. I think it involves different skills. I think it has a different intent. Right. I think it's presented differently. I do think that they are different. I think they're distinct. I think they flow in. They flow into each other. I'm not going to say that they don't fall into each other, you know, as you're engaging with them. But I do think that they are different. And what he's actually saying here, I actually agree with, is I think too many guys do step behind the pulpit with the intent to simply inform. And not to proclaim. Or lecture and not to proclaim, right? So much of preaching, it's not that it's void of information, but it's not just to inform. It's not just a lecture. It's not just to give you some knowledge so that you can pass the exam at the end of the day. It's to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ, proclaim our need for the gospel, and proclaim how Christ has perfectly met that need, right? And you do that wherever you are in the text. Where in the Bible am I preaching from? Where is the gospel here? I'm going to proclaim this, right? And that's full of law and gospel because we need both, right? It's distinct, but both good. So that's what preaching is, right? And something I agree with him here is some guys just preach their prep, right? They take the historical context and the authorial intent and the Greek work and the Hebrew work and the commentary work, and that's what they preach. I can tell you, and I've sat in on these. I have sat in on these, Jack, where I have been able to listen to a guy preaching, go to the MacArthur commentary, and it's almost word for word.
Yeah.
Right? That's out of bounds. Yeah. We can't be doing that.
Yeah.
Right? That's not preaching. That's not what your people need, and that's not healthy for you or for them. Okay? It's not that you can't use them or utilize them, but you don't preach your prep. You preach the word of God. You preach to your people, and you preach Christ. Right? So, I agree with that. So far, so good. It shouldn't be a class. It should be a proclamation, right? And we've talked about that ad nauseum. Anything to add to that before I move on to the video?
No.
Okay.
I want to hear preaching. I want to see a man who has life and death painted on his face.
Here's where it starts to get a little wonky for me.
Yeah.
All right. And again, I wanna be careful because I wanna be nuanced here because I do think there's two sides to this. So I'm gonna say this and I'll throw it over to you, Jack. I don't believe preaching should be boring. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it should be. I believe that our people should hear the excitement and the joy and the wonder of what we are preaching in how we preach.
Yeah.
If you are preaching the gospel and it is a humdrum, Eeyore-ish, thanks for noticing, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of, and you're lulling people to sleep. It's probably not for you.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's probably not the role that you should be in the local church. So I don't think preaching should be boring, but I do think we need to have some grace in what we constitute good preaching. When he says, I want to see a man who has life and death painted on his face. Like, I don't really know what that means.
I don't know what it means either.
If I can be honest, I see more death on Washer's face than life.
Yeah, true.
You know, because if he's going to make the distinction of like we preach life when there's life and death when there's death, right? It's these types of things that I see the most from Washer. I think there's kind of a lack of balance with these guys, and that it's a lot of death. I think you're preaching a lot of death, right? So, I want to make that distinction that I don't think preaching should be boring. I think we should strive to be good public speakers and to improve on our public speaking and our presentation. I don't think that that's a bad thing. And I think that you can do that in a way that's not superficial and seeker sensitive. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I have no clue what he means by I want to see that. It's like, okay, like who died and made you the Pope?
here we go.
Like, let's be honest about this. It's like,
you're going to get us in trouble, Jack.
there is no standard for the delivery of the preacher.
Sure. Yeah. And that's a good point. That's a good point.
So it's like, okay, like, those are, I mean, whatever Paul Washer wants in a preacher, I mean, that's up to him, but don't supersede that and start to make your preferences the Lord and the conscience over other people's desires to just hear the word and hear where their pastors are taking them on that journey in the text. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a great point. Like, you know, this again, like I agree with Washer that I think what he's trying to say is like we should strive not to be boring, right? Yeah. I think that's I want to be gracious in my interpretation of what he's saying, but we do got to realize that when you set that standard, it really is subjective.
Yeah,
you know what's boring to one person is not going to be boring to another.
Yeah,
right. And Washer, I think inadvertently with these statements, whether he realizes it or not, I think he sets himself and his thoughts on what a preacher is and should be as the standard for what he is preaching, right? When he says, I want to see a man who has life and death painted on his face, I want to hear preaching, not a New Testament class. Like, he has an idea in his head what that is, and that's probably different than what I have in mind.
Yeah.
Right? So, again, we have to be careful when we're making these types of statements, because inadvertently what that ends up doing is it kind of just sets yourself up as the standard, because obviously I think Paul Washer would say that he falls into that, right? If that's the standard, I would hope that he thinks he meets his own standard.
Yeah.
So, you know, is Washer the standard for what we should be preaching, right? Is MacArthur, is, you know, again, fill in the gaps here, right?
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope. It's an unhelpful argument. Like, and you're dealing in subjective territory here. I think that's the really difficult part about these types of statements, is it's purely subjective. Let's continue here.
I want to have the great matters of eternity set before me. I want to be urged. I want to be begged. I want to be pleaded with, because the subject matter is worthy of it.
Okay. I mean, again, not in and of itself a bad thing, but you like, what does that look like and what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sometimes you're in the, you know, in the depths of, you know, Deuteronomy, right? And it's just, again, I'm going to find Christ in this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not like, this isn't something where you're going to have, you know, it's not an easy text to preach, right? And I think that's part of the problem that I have with guys like this who might, and again, like based on my research, who don't have the duty of preaching every week in and week out. It's really easy to take this stance when like you go to conferences and speaking engagements, and by and large, you get to kind of pick like the ribeye steaks of verses to preach.
True.
You know, like not every person gets the chance to pick their passages where it like it really preach, really convicting, right? It's full of gospel saturated truth. Sometimes you're working through an Old Testament class, or, you know, an Old Testament book, and it's, you know, like we're in the we're in the bowels of it right now. You know what I'm saying?
And it's just, try doing that with Ecclesiastes. Like, yeah, that probably the, like we just went through it, and I'll tell you what, like it's hard because there's a lot of negativity in Ecclesiastes.
Sure, sure.
And there's a lot of, you know, life is temporary. Like, you know, try and go through it. It's like, so yeah, it's like, on one sense of it, it's like, yeah, the subject matter is worthy of it, but it's like, I don't need my pastor to plead with me. I just need him to share and to preach what the Holy Spirit has put on his heart and prepared him for the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And that's going to look different with every different guy. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, it is. It is. And it's going to look different depending on the congregation, right?
Yep.
Because I think a good pastor preaches knowing his congregation. Yeah. Right. So that factors in. And I think, wanting to be pleaded with and begged and you know, all of these things. I understand what he's saying.
Yeah. I think that's a little theatrical, though.
It borderlines on it. It does. I would say it borderlines. And this is going to, like, we'll let the rest of the video play. I think emotionalism is something that Paul Washer tends to struggle with in regards to, like, if it is void of emotion, if the certain emotions are not there, then the authenticity is called into question, right? I say that. Let's hear the rest of the video and you'll see what I mean.
And this was the Apostle Paul. He doesn't just lay truth before people and then walk off the platform patting himself on the back because he did a good job expositing a text.
I mean, I think we need to pat our pastors on the back a little more, honestly.
I mean, you know, I don't have any pastors that I know who are trying to pat each other or pat themselves on the back because he exposited the text correctly. That's not even their goal.
No.
So I feel like this is a broad brush.
The goal isn't to get, you know, pats on the back. But my point is, like, it's an offshoot point. I do think we should encourage our pastors more. If they preach an encouraging sermon, I think you should let them know it's encouraging. And I think you can do that in a way that's not not being flattering.
Yeah.
Right. And not boosting their ego. But, you know, if your pastor preached something and it was encouraging to you, you should let him know that. Because he worked hard on that, right? And the Lord used him as the means to encourage you. We should acknowledge that. I think that's a good thing. Anyway, that's just an offshoot comment. But.
No! There should be no contentment in the preacher unless God is glorified and men and women are moved.
So that right there, there should be no contentment in the preacher until God is glorified and men and women are moved. Okay? I think he added too much to that sentence.
Yeah.
Right? I think the sentence should have stopped at there should be no contentment in the preacher until God is glorified.
Yeah.
Right? Because that I agree with 100%. The problem with that addendum that he adds, and men and women are moved, is, and I don't think he's trying to do this.
Yeah.
But you are inadvertently placing the onus of authenticity on whether or not your preaching created an emotional response in your people.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just doesn't. Mm-hmm. Right? Here's the thing. And this isn't calling anybody out. This is just the reality. My particular church that I serve at, they are not emotional people. They are not they are not ones to give a lot of amens or put the hands in the air or, you don't get a lot of feedback. There's not a lot of moving going on, at least outwardly, right? It's not a bad thing. It's just the way that God wired these people, right? Yeah. There's other churches where you see the evidence of that moving a lot more in the outward, right?
Yeah.
You know, the outward showing. So The problem with this standard is that, again, you are creating a subjective standard of what it means to be moved, what it looks like to be moved.
Yeah.
And if your preaching does not succeed in that in your people, then you should not be content in your preaching.
Yeah.
I think that goes too far.
Yeah, it does.
And I think it places a weight mm-hmm. on the pastor.
Yep.
That the Holy Spirit is the only one that can carry.
Yeah.
Because it's the Holy Spirit that moves. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts. It's the Holy Spirit that takes the words preached mm-hmm. and applies them to the heart.
Yep.
It's the Holy Spirit that takes the sword of the Word of God and pierces the heart.
Yep.
Right? That's the Spirit's job. And the Spirit is able to do that with passionate preaching coming from an excellent communicator
yep.
or the pastor that is opening his Bible and doing his best with the text. Mm-hmm. The Spirit is capable of moving and applying that same word in both instances, and it is not dependent upon the preacher.
Yeah.
And I think when we set this standard that Paul Washer is setting, we're creating an unrealistic expectation for preachers that they have to fit a certain mold, preach a certain way, or else their people are not going to be moved the way that they want them to be moved. And you forget that it's the Holy Spirit that does the moving, not the preacher.
Yeah.
You have to be faithful in preaching the Word of God and be content with the results of that landing in the hands of God the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And clips like this, I think, create, again, I want to be gracious, unintentionally even, perhaps, create a standard that is unmeetable.
Yeah.
Because we are not God. Yeah. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he should have ended that off without saying kind of moving of the people. Because, yeah, you're starting to say that your preaching is just mm-hmm. as effective as the Holy Spirit's working in people. And it's not. It's not. It has a degree of it, but you're relying on the Spirit to use your words in preaching mm-hmm. To effectively, hopefully, point people to Christ.
Yes.
And that can only be done through God's means, not your words, mm-hmm. but through God's mm-hmm. means of doing that. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I feel like for the amount of stuff that Paul Washer talks about, when we talk about this, when we talk about him saying, you know, you can't do things carnal or do all these other things. He's kind of focusing on carnal ways of moving people in some senses,
it is a weird, almost charismatic emotionalism that, you know, and again, I don't like, he's not that guy, but
no,
we got to be really careful like because that. It does sound like that people got to be moved, man. Preaching should move you. And if you're not moving your people, you're not preaching right. Like that's effectively what's being said. And that's a very charismatic way of looking at and explaining the point of preaching.
And I can say this, I don't need to have somebody say your preaching needs to move people in order for people to be moved by your preaching. Like, preachers don't have to come off like all like they're going to move people in order to move people, to be quite honest. Like, mm-hmm. I have had my pastors who they would say at best they are mediocre pastors and mediocre preachers, but I think that they are really good expositors at the end of the day. They have assembled sermons and have preached and have moved me where honestly, like I didn't think it was going to go that way, that sermon.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah,
I don't have that expectation. I have the expectation knowing that the Lord's using them in my life. Mm-hmm. And that preaching is a somewhat means of grace in which it's pointing me towards Jesus and pointing me towards the gospel every single Lord's Day.
Yeah.
So I don't need to have somebody critique my pastor who has that in the back of their mind when I know it's going to happen every Sunday.
Right.
So,
yeah. No, I agree, man. I agree. And I think, Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like those who are tasked with preaching, they should, again, preaching is a skill, right? And we should seek to develop that just like any other skill. You should seek to be engaging. You should seek to be passionate. You should seek to be a good communicator, because that's a good thing to do. You should care about the craft, right? If it's a trade, you know, if you think about it like a trade, you should be good at it, right? I do want a journeyman preacher up there, sure, preaching, you know, because they're good at it. They're seasoned. They take time to hone the skill. But the intent of that should not be so that you can, you know, move your people more. It should be so that you do the best with the text that you humanly can, yeah, and that you honor the Lord in doing the text justice, giving the text the respect that it deserves, right? And your people are going to be edified by that, because the Spirit will take the words of God being preached in any scenario and apply them the way that he wants to.
Yeah.
So on one hand, yeah, seek to be engaging, seek to be good at your job, seek, yeah, to be a good preacher. Don't be boring. But understand that your job is not to create some sort of emotional response from your people.
Yeah.
That's the Spirit's job. Be, yeah, faithful in preaching Christ wherever you are in Scripture. Preach the text faithfully. And trust in the Spirit to apply what the Spirit will apply.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it.
Yeah,
and it's that simple. And people are encouraged, and pastors will not be discouraged because they're not dealing with a weight that is not theirs to carry.
Yeah. Right? I think that this is a, yeah, just going back to that original comment you said too, Josh, of just like, maybe we do need to like pat these guys more on the back. Like,
yeah,
I think that and I see it pretty much every Sunday. When our pastor preaches, he's not preaching out of a sense of arrogance or pride.
Yeah.
He's preaching out of a sense of loving and caring for the sheep that he has in the flock, that,
right,
he is an under shepherd under Jesus.
Right.
And so if I were to see that in a pastor, I would point that out.
Yeah.
But I don't see that in my pastors every single Sunday when they come up to the Lord's Day.
Sure.
And they're humbled by what God is showing them in the text, and they're sharing that through their preaching.
Yeah.
So yeah, if it was a different circumstance in a different church, I could see where that's an issue. But
yeah,
yeah, I think just broad brushing it like Washer does sometimes,
mm-hmm,
you unintendedly have collateral damage in doing,
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's very wise in doing that.
Well, anytime, in any instance, anywhere.
Yeah.
You set up a subjective standard,
yeah,
and call people to it, there's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
There's going to be trouble. So, yeah. So let's seek to not do that and be faithful and trust in the Spirit to do the moving. Right. Yeah. Jack, my friend, why don't you move us out of here?
Sure.
Please.
The correct moving, so to say.
Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate what Josh and I do here on the Reformatory and making the local church central to the believer's life, and you would like to follow us, send us a message, interact with us some more, you can do that on the Sociables, if you will. You're on the Facebook, the Metaverse, the Instagram goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, a little bit of heresy sprinkled on top, maybe.
That's right.
And then the Sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. All at the tag at Reformatory Pod on all of those Sociable platforms. Josh, you can tell lovely people how they might support us in our endeavors here.
That's right. Well, as we already mentioned, if you want to watch this episode as well as listen to it, you can head on over to YouTube and do so. It makes the Instagrams definitely a lot more fun, being able to see those jokers for sure. You can like this podcast. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. That's pretty cool, too. Helps us get the podcast out to more people who they also can be encouraged in making the local church central in their lives. Last but not least, we do have a Patreon. And for $5 a month, you get bonus episodes. You get this episode free. You get video content, and Jack and I are working on that exclusive patron smoke session. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about that. For $5 a month, $5 holla, if you choose to do so, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.